Thanks for tuning in today, and welcome to today's podcast. Your host is Joe Love, a spiritual teacher, sixth sensory guide, and author. Let's get started.
The German dramatist Goethe once said, "Life is not anything. It's only the opportunity for something." If you look around, no two people are exactly alike. We're all different. Everyone has a different life experience because we're all on different levels of our journey through life. When we incarnate as an innocent child, connected to our spirit, and then by the age of 7, we start getting all the societal influences on us, and it just messes everything up, but that's what happens. So remember, it's our consciousness that shapes our life and creates our world. And if our consciousness is filled with bitterness, resentment, blame, anger, we're going to create a life that mirrors that. Let's think about what unforgiveness does. It literally and emotionally, it's like an inferno inside us. You don't always feel it, but it's there. It just creates a living hell, is what it does. And on our journey here on the physical plane, slowly but surely manifests unless we let it go. It devours the quality of our life, just slowly but surely eats away at it till it manifests into things that we don't want illness-wise. Let's face it, we all want to be understood. We all want to be forgiven ourselves for things we've done. We all need mercy. When we can free up, not only is it an enormous gift we give ourselves, but to others as well. When you forgive, we let go of all the pain, the misery, the judgment. It becomes a doorway to a spirit-guided life, is what it does. Got some really heartfelt stories I want to tell you tonight. Just forgive, and it just opens everything up. And it frees us up to manifest the life that we want, to be happy, fulfilled, and prosperous, which is what we all want. We have to clear out the pain, of the past, and really experience the abundance that's all around us all the time. And it never ceases to amaze me, as I've talked about before, how so many people try to find happiness in so many different areas, whether it's taking vacations. More times I'll take an extra vacation. That may help me to recharge the battery to happier people. They'll get married, they'll get divorced, a new car, they join exclusive clubs, and it never brings happiness. The happiness that we seek, as we've talked about, is within ourselves. Carnegie once said, on his 50th birthday, he said this, that in my 50 years, if I've learned anything at all, it's that happiness comes from within. There's nothing outside that's going to make me happy other than myself. I have to do it myself. And that's a telling quote. So just imagine what your life would be like if you let go of the past, if you really, really let it go at the deepest level inside you. Letting go of all the negativity, all the judgment, resentments, anger, and just live in the present moment. Imagine how wonderful that would be. Imagine how peaceful, loving, and happy you could be if you work on it. And that's what these exercises are designed to do, to be able to release all that so all the positive energy of the universe can flow into us and we can manifest whatever we want at any time. Now, when you get down to be able to manifest and you master those 7 principles, you can manifest things instantly, whenever you want. There's so many millions of people out there that are not experiencing happiness, even though it's all around us. It's there for us. There's millions of alcoholics out there, millions of women that have been sexually abused, people that have come from divorced homes, have had to endure terrible relationships, angry relationships, and so many highly educated people out there that can't find jobs, that are out of work for years at a time in the midst of all the abundance that we have. So maybe we're looking in the wrong place. That we can create peace and happiness that we want instantly if we're willing to make peace, and that lies in forgiveness and letting go. Most people look for happiness and joy. They just won't give up their resentment, though, their bitterness, their anger. I have a very close friend of mine that I've known for many, many years, and she's very, very active politically. She was just down in the Women's March recently down in Washington, D.C. a couple years ago. She's got a great heart, and she wants to bring people into her home. She wants to have some of the refugees coming in from the Middle East stay with her in her home. She wants to save the world. And it's noble, but she's been through 4 divorces. She's been in and out of rehab for drug abuse. We don't want to work on the hardest thing, and that's ourselves. And it's noble to want to help people, but you can't do it at the level that they need help if you don't work on yourself first. It's going to create more anguish for you because you keep looking and looking and looking. It's never going to be enough. It's like goal setting. You set a goal, okay, I achieved that. What's next? What's next? That's why I said we switch it to intentions. So it gives us a chance to enjoy what we have that gets us in the moment. You can't have experience in the world if you're not coming from that, the equivalent of it. You become more peaceful and happy, and then it just filters through you. The universe just filters right through you. It's simple, but it's not easy to do. You have to have 100% intention, because our egos, our intellect, doesn't want to forgive. If somebody did something, those memories are there, don't want to let it go. Our egos and intellect want to hold on to that anger, that vengeance, don't want to let it go. And we have to remember, we live in a world of cause and effect. It's one of the ironclad laws of the universe. No one can escape it. That quality of our life comes from the thoughts and the feelings that we carry around inside us. And that's just, it's simple as that. We can't escape it. Happiness has to begin inside of us. If we're stuck in the past resenting, it's not going to happen. You have to be 100% committed. The gates of heaven, they open up. When you make peace with everyone, you make peace with yourself, you tap into source energy. I'm going to repeat this because it's so important. I've said it the last couple of meetups. The feelings you hold towards other people, you carry in every cell of your body. You go up to that counter and you don't get the service that you want, and you get somebody that's sort of snippy with you. You don't like it and so forth. Well, somewhere you're holding that. Even though you say, I don't care, you do. So you got to forgive that person. It affects our health when we don't. Continues to manifest until we let go. Doesn't matter how long ago it was. Once you leave this earth and you're on the other side, you don't want to come back here. I hear people in spiritual say, I'll learn it the next lifetime. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to get as much of your learning done now so you don't have to come back here again. Because once you're there, you don't want to come back. Remember, God gives us free will. God gives us free will as to when we're going to learn the lessons we need to learn to evolve to be closer to the higher plane. But he doesn't give us the choice, the free will, as to whether or not we're going to learn those lessons. It's up to us how many lifetimes we have to reincarnate to learn those lessons, but we've got to learn them. So there we don't have free will. And I've said in the last two meetups, if you're not manifesting what you want, the life that you want, then there's something inside that's blocking you. And pent up negative emotions towards someone else or self, just block that. Block that completely. The dictionary defines forgiveness as giving up resentment, anger, or desire to punish, to stop being angry with, or to pardon. That's the way the dictionary defines forgiveness. I think that's a great definition of it too. Tell you a quick story. I had a client named Matt. He had graduated from college, recently before he came to me. He had trouble holding down a job. And he graduated college with honors, but his life just was not working. Couldn't hold a job, relationship, nothing was working. So in doing a reading for him, I could see that he had a lot of resentment towards his mother. That came through loud and clear because his mom was a disciplinarian, but she wouldn't discipline herself. What she did was she would pass it off to the husband, who would discipline him and the other kids. So he really resented that because, he could see right through that growing up. She tried to act like the good mom. I didn't do that. That was your father. So he really, really resented that. And so after college, he got his own apartment, and his mom would call him every day. And that really drove him up the wall, really bothered him. And so his attitude was, Mom, leave me alone. If I want to talk to you, I'll call you. Just leave me alone. When they were together, he would yell at her. He treated her very badly, criticized her, and he felt it was her fault that they didn't have a loving relationship. He blamed her. All this resentment toward his mother caused him a lot of physical problems because at a very young age, in his early 20s, he developed these migraine headaches. He developed terrible arthritis to the point where he could hardly, move his arms. It hurt him to move his arms and his shoulders. And so, after several sessions, he saw that, okay, he's got to bring closure. Yeah, with his mother. And so he began to understand that if he's going to have peace, he's going to have happiness and good health, that he had to clean up the unfinished business in his life. And that was with his mom. So one day he called his mom and he apologized to her for his behavior. And he was telling me how his mom cried over the phone because she just was so grateful that he did that and made that gesture. And she really, really appreciated it. Then he did something that we sort of lost as a society with all the computer and age and so forth. He wrote her a very, very long, heartfelt letter apologizing. Not an email, because we always send emails. He wrote her a handwritten letter. She really, really touched her. He appreciated it. He came over not too long after that, within a few weeks, and he said she hugged him, she kissed him like never before. He never felt that from her. And Matt, at that moment, he realized how much he loved his mom, and she realized how much he loved her. So shortly after that experience, when he let all that go, then his physical problems, he didn't get migraines anymore. His arthritis went away. His health improved dramatically. He got a good job, and everything in his life just improved. Personal handwritten letters, we don't do them anymore, but boy, they're powerful. Yeah, they really, really are if you take the time to do them. But it's so much faster to do just send an email out, but it's just not as personal as a handwritten letter. So another toxic emotion that we hold that we overlook is guilt, because that's very toxic. It runs our life in a very destructive way. Like, I should have done that, or I shouldn't have done that, or I'm sorry I did that, and you play it over and over in your mind. You got to let that go. Forgive yourself. If you said something you shouldn't have said, you think it might have offended somebody or did something, apologize to them. Then let it go. They're either going to accept your apology or not, but you do it, and that releases it from you. Don't hold it, and don't play it over your mind. Apologize, and let it go. That's all you can do. And if you want to be more powerful, again, going back to the letter, it changes two lives. Because writing a handwritten letter, that sends up the energy into the universe that an email does not do. Because you're putting your really emotion into that, writing that letter. So I really encourage you to do that. It really can create some major openings and miracles for you. Because all of us has been hurt by other people. We're human. We've all gone through it. And some of us have even, like myself, been so wronged and so hurt, you seek vengeance. But it doesn't matter whether it's 1, 20, how many people, you got to forgive them and let it all go. Because it's too toxic in every cell of your body. So it doesn't matter how many people, just make sure, slowly but surely, you get it all out. As I say, it's not easy to forgive. It's hard, but it's so worth it. There's nothing like it to improve the quality of your life, to make things open up for you, to be able to manifest, to bring the peace that we all seek for ourselves. And then once we have that inner peace, then we can help others at a deeper level that we could never help them before. That's what it comes down to. I'm sure that you've all heard the saying, walk a mile in the other person's shoes. That's so important, because people don't commit unkind acts when they're at peace or happy. They do it when they're unhappy, they're stressed, they're defensive. That's when they create unkind acts. And if we don't forgive and let go, we're stuck in quicksand. We just can't move. We're stuck there. Our bodies break down over time, and major illness is on the way just around the corner. I'll tell you another quick story. I had a client years ago that he had suffered from self-esteem. This stems from his father. To give you an example of how this self-esteem manifests, Gordon told it to me. When he was younger, he was riding his bike. He fell off his bike and skinned his knee, his elbow. He really hurt. And he went over to his father. He was crying like any young child would. And his father yelled at him and said, "Act like a man and quit crying." Just yelled at him and screamed at him. He never forgot it. So, and that's just one of the things that happened. But they never had a good relationship, very distant. And when he was in high school, his parents separated. They were divorced. And after that, Gordon wanted nothing to do with his father. His father was dead as far as he was concerned. He wanted nothing to do with him whatsoever. Gordon went on to become a drug addict, alcoholic. He went to prison for credit card fraud, spent time there. He went into recovery, and shortly after that, he had contacted me. We worked hard on his need to forgive, but it was difficult when it came to his dad. He did not want to forgive his dad. He hated his dad. He didn't want any parts of that. I could not get past that point. And so he realized that life was just not going to work until he forgave his dad, but he wasn't going to do it. He couldn't do it. So one day, his sister called. She said his dad, who lived in Florida, had terminal cancer, and he only had a few months to live. Gordon, he didn't want to visit his dad. He wanted no parts of it. So he said he'll just have to deal with it. But then the more he thought about it, he talked to me, he called his dad. And he told me about the phone call. I explained to his dad that he wanted a better relationship, and he saw the way things. He says dad was very cold and just said maybe one or two words the whole conversation. He really was the same. So Gordon said, "I don't care. I don't care. He can die. I want nothing more to do with him. That's it. Yeah, I can't do it." So after he heard he had cancer, his sister called and said, "We have to go down and see dad. We have to get down to Florida." His pancreatic cancer that had spread to his liver and other organs. Gordon said, "Okay, I'm going to go down. We'll go down and see him." So he went down, and his father greeted him like, "Well, what are you doing here?" That didn't bother him. Gordon was on a mission, different reason for going down there. So he spent a week with him. I saw more of his dad. He understood that it wasn't his dad's fault for the breakup or the things that happened. He understood the way his dad was and what his dad has gone through. His mom and dad wouldn't have made it anyway. He understood and started to forgive his dad after all. Interesting thing happened. When they went to the airport, his dad shook the kids' hands, and Gordon reached over and grabbed his dad and hugged him. And his dad was very resistant, pushing him away. But Gordon wouldn't let him go. And he whispered in his dad's ears, he said, "I love you, Dad." Then his dad sort of let go, and he described the hug, the embrace, and his dad said he loved him too. A few weeks after that, his dad passed. Gordon spent some time with his dad's second wife. The wife had said that on several occasions, Gordon's dad had contacted their mom wanting to see the kids, and it was the mom that put the end to it, said no. So the dad had reached out. Gordon didn't know that. But the mom said no. It brought closure to Gordon's life. He could move on after that. That's what it takes. You know, no one ever said forgiveness is easy. It's not. Do you want to be miserable and suffer and have things manifest over time, those feelings? The quality of your life depends on the judgments that you have towards yourself and other people. You don't have to wait for unfinished business. You can deal with it now. Don't wait and deal with it later. The spiritual teacher Ram Dass said, whatever you do with another person, never put them out of your heart. And thinking about it doesn't do it. You have to take action. You can't just say, I want to forgive this or I'll forgive them. You have to take action. You have to do some of these exercises. So I'm going to give you another exercise to work on at your leisure when you feel you're ready. You've touched on it, but here's another one that pick someone you hate or resent. And write them a letter. They could be alive or maybe they're deceased. It doesn't matter because you're not going to mail the letter. Because remember, the pain is with us, not with them. And write this letter and get all the rage, all the anger out. Get it out of your system so you don't keep it in. It just eats away at us. So in the first part of the letter, express honestly all your negative feelings, all the pain that person has caused you, whatever you feel they did to you, the criticism, lack of support, whatever it is that they did to you. Put it in that letter. Just let it all out. And do this one person at a time. And use any type of language that you want to use in the letter. Doesn't matter, you're not mailing it. And get it all out. Write as much as you want. Page, 3 pages, 6 pages. It doesn't matter how long the letter is. Just get that rage, that anger out. And in the next part of the letter, search for anything positive that person may have done for you. It's hard, but if you really search for it, there's something that they did that you can be grateful for. Maybe they got your attention with something they did that turned you in a positive direction. Maybe they did something that opened your eyes, in a way that you hadn't thought of. Something along those lines, anything you could pick out that may be positive that they did, that you can be grateful for, and write that down in the second part of your letter. As I said, there's no sense in mailing the letter. Because, the pain's not with them, it's with us. Again, suggest you throw it into a really nasty-smelling bag of garbage. But if you feel like you have to burn it, you can go ahead and do that too. So whatever works for you. That's the way that it works. You start, and then it starts coming out and coming out and coming out. And, but you have to start. And you start when it's right for you. And when it's right for you, you do it. Yeah, the French philosopher, and he's a playwright, author, Jean-Paul Sartre, he said, on the other side of despair, a whole new life begins. On the other side of anger and bitterness, there's a life of love, joy, and fulfillment. Opposites. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Wayne Dyer once said, and this is very, very true as well, that we don't get what we want in life, we get what we are. The mirror. That's what we get. What we're reflecting out. That's what we attract, within relationships or anything like that. So if you want to change, it has to come from in here. It doesn't come from outside. It has to come. Because unfinished past, unfinished present, unfinished future. It goes one after the other. If you're not in flow, where things are working effortlessly, where things are working for you, where life's not a struggle, then you have something in the past that's unfinished that you have to work on and clean up. Another thing that is really, really destructive, and a lot of parents are guilty of this, is expectations. You expect your children to be a certain way. You want them to be the star on the football team. That is so destructive because, let's face it, not everybody reads a script the way that somebody thinks it should be, right? As everybody can tell by now, I love quotes. And, the British philosopher and author James Allen once said, and this is very, very telling, people are anxious to improve their circumstances, but they're unwilling to improve themselves, therefore they remain bound. Now, how true is that? Is John Ruskin, the English author, he wrote, the only wealth is life. So if your life doesn't work, what else is there? That's all we have. And forgiveness is not easy, but it's the most empowering thing that we can do, to work on it and work on it and work on it every day. And, a Chinese proverb that says, don't curse the darkness, light a candle instead.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening. Come back and listen to any of Joe's podcasts as often as you'd like. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information on how to reawaken the voice of your spirit, visit joeloveiw.com.